You are listening to the MD Clone Talk Data Podcast, the show that uncovers healthcare insights, technology innovation, and discovers new ways to understand data possibilities. We bring together industry leaders, customers, and innovators to drive the future of care delivery. Let's talk data.
Welcome to MD Clone Talk Data Podcast. I'm your host, Emily Risley, Senior Director of Clinical Data and Analytics at MD Clone. For those new to us, MD Clone is a health technology company enabling safe and efficient access to healthcare data to accelerate research, improve quality of care, and drive innovative partnerships that ultimately improve population health. In today's episode, we dive into how George Washington University leveraged Veterans Affairs synthetic data in collaboration with MD Clone to advance the Predict Mod tool, highlighting how secure, privacy-preserving synthetic dataset can lead to meaningful insights and support impactful translational research, particularly in the diabetes and chronic disease space. Joining us today is Lori Kramer, Research Associate with the Mazumdar Research Group in the Department of Biochemistry and Molecular Medicine at the George Washington University School of Medicine and Health Sciences. Welcome to the podcast, Lori.
Hi, thank you for having me. I'm happy to be here.
Great. Can you start by describing PredictMod at a high level and a clinical problem it was designed to address?
Of course. So PredictMod is a platform that's designed to host intervention outcome prediction models. These are machine learning models that are trained to predict the outcomes of treatments prior to the person initiating that treatment. And the platform is also designed as a collaborative space for users to upload their models and interact with other uploaded models. Several studies have developed models that predict patient outcomes, but to my knowledge, none have delivered a user-friendly platform that allows this external data input and allows kind of not just researchers or bioinformaticians, but also clinical experts to use those models.
So it's designed to foster that collaboration in the first place.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Our two primary priorities were that user-friendly platform and the collaboration that it fosters.
That's awesome. And it was designed for diabetes and chronic disease?
So our focus has been primarily on prediabetes and cancer interventions, but the tool and platform itself is agnostic. So models can be focused on any condition or intervention. We're growing kind of quite a variety of interventions and conditions.
Very nice. What was your main hypothesis going into this work, and how did MD Clone synthetic data solution come into place?
So we believe that a user-friendly platform such as PredictMod would allow clinicians and non-informatics researchers to harness the capabilities of machine learning. I came from a public health background, and I think there are a lot of really great data science tools that general public health community would greatly benefit from. But sometimes those tools require quite a bit more expertise than I might have or other public health community or clinicians may have. And so we really wanted to provide access to an understanding of some of those machine learning capabilities to users who wouldn't normally have that.
That's awesome. And can you walk us through how PredictMod models were trained and tested, and what outcomes or findings have been most meaningful so far?
Yeah. So actually, let me clarify. So you mentioned how the MD Clone models specifically were, right?
PredictMod models using MD Clone synthetic data solution, sure.
Okay. So we were able to use the MD Clone platform to query data sets of interest. We focused on prediabetes with a few different interventions of interest based on consultation with an endocrinologist who's familiar with the condition and diabetes care. And I can go into more detail here about the specific process of using MD Clone, but just to give a high level overview. Okay. So with MD Clone, we were able to extract, we focused on extracting values for specific variables based on two things. First, the LOINC code, which is like the lab or medical observation codes that were available, but we also carefully crafted keyword values to find data that was relevant to the interventions of interest. And then during the data cleaning step, we actually merged the two, taking the keyword value as a priority. And that actually greatly increased the size of the data sets that we were working with and captured a lot of that really valuable information that's available via keyword searches that just isn't always mapped to the appropriate medication code or lab code. And so we were able to do that. We kind of carefully crafted a query for one of the interventions and then duplicated that query and the parameters there. So we used similar values or variables, I would say, such as heart rate, HbA1c, weight, those kind of things in the data set. And then we were able to simply modify the intervention of interest. So we had very similar kind of layout of data sets there with similar columns, just a slightly different intervention. And then we, you know, went through the normal processes of model or data set cleaning and harmonization, making sure that the model training was done effectively as well. We trained it on a few different models of interest, focusing primarily on those that have explainability. As I mentioned, we wanted to be able to, those are a lot of like tree-based models, ones that are easy to explain or for easy kind of understanding. And then we integrated those models into our platform.
Very cool. What were some outcomes or findings? Maybe one or two, if you can name them, that have been most meaningful so far.
Yeah. So I think it's important maybe to know here that kind of our project focused most on infrastructure and tool building rather than the clinical research. But there were a couple of things. So I can speak in part to kind of the MBClone models, which supported the well-known findings around prediabetes risk factors. So we definitely found like heart rate, weight, cholesterol, HbA1c levels, as you would expect, play key roles in prediabetes outcome prediction. But I think there are some other operational insights that were quite intriguing as we went about the process. And so exploring kind of the breadth of the MDClone's query features provided really key insights into potential future directions of models. And as somebody that's a real big fan of data and kind of data analytics, there are some data sets that I wish I could just spend a lot of time on because I think there's some really rich insights there. But obviously, we don't all have time to just dig into the data all of the time. So I really enjoyed kind of being able to manipulate the query in a convenient way through MDClone, or we could really tap into what we found interesting without taking too much time digging into the data as much.
Absolutely.
So, yeah.
Yeah. So enabling broader access to data. And so who on your teams were able to interact directly with the data once MDClone was set up, and how did that change collaboration or speed up collaboration in your team?
So myself and one other researcher were able to interact directly with the data. And when I like to clarify that, we never had access to the individual level data with Veterans Affairs. We had the aggregated query statistics and the resulting synthetic data through MDClone. So I, as I mentioned, have more of a public health epidemiology background. My colleague had more of a wet lab life science background, which we both worked quite closely with our endocrinologist to develop the training data sets or queries that would be highly relevant to the clinical space. And so I think having multiple perspectives, as you can imagine, especially at that data query stage, was really, really critical because there were values that from the public health standpoint, I definitely wanted in there, but ones that maybe I would overlook in terms of the life science or clinical perspective. So we definitely had kind of a multidisciplinary team a little bit, and that was very beneficial.
Definitely. And it's incredibly useful when defining the cohort, when defining the study criteria and other things too. So as a result of using MDClone, have you seen improvements in time to insight or even taking a step further in readiness to translate this research into effective public health interventions or programs?
Yeah, I would say as a result of using MDClone, I worked with several different data sets for modeling throughout this project. And I will say the majority of those have been publicly available omics type data sets where you're really kind of stuck with the data that you have and the data that's available. With MDClone, not only the data that we were able to extract, but the format of the data made the subsequent harmonization and model training steps very straightforward and efficient. The pipeline itself can be quite simple and straightforward, but then when you actually get into the data and you actually get into training the models, a lot of little things can come up. And we found that with the MDClone data sets, I think partially in the way that we were able to very carefully design our queries, but also just the structure that the synthetic data had and the way that we were able to kind of customize that in the synthetic data generation step really just made the whole process quite efficient, which obviously helped in terms of time to insight.
Right. And to your point, you don't have access, direct access to the original Veteran Affairs data. It's just a synthetic data. So it is maintaining that privacy and governance. And so, how do you see platforms like MDClone make it more feasible to scale PredictMod across institutions?
Yeah, the ability to use synthetic data sets to train our model specifically allowed us to utilize the powerful biomedical insights that were available in such rich data without having to worry about privacy or governance, which there are a lot less restrictions on synthetic data, but the analytical insights that we found are comparable to that of the real-world data. And we were pretty rigorous in our analysis. So once the synthetic data was generated, MDClone provides these great statistical kind of reports with violin plots to compare and make sure that those statistical parameters are really comparable so that we can have confidence in the high quality of the synthetic data to be able to extract meaningful clinical insights. And again, without having to do a lot of those kind of jump through all of the governance and privacy concern hoops that really just meant that we were able to provide those insights to clinicians faster.
Right. And so when you look back on the PredictMod work, how did using synthetic data foster the ability to scale predictive modeling work in other disease space and foster this collaboration?
With the kind of coming back to the nature of PredictMod and the goal of our project initially, was largely to create that collaborative space that is truly condition treatment agnostic, and being able to kind of expand the community of models. And I think a lot of times we kind of focus on, we think in the data science world, you want a bigger data set for bigger models, but I think there are still a lot of really valuable insights that can be gleaned from smaller data sets or more specific data sets. And so kind of having one place to collaborate on those and have your data kind of validated and appreciated by other experts in the field is really great. And I think kind of the key benefit of using MDClone synthetic data was being able to meet the data access and governance compliance concern while preserving that high quality data and the meaningful clinical insights that are there. I think another big piece too is could the collaboration that we were able to employ throughout the process, not just kind of the end goal of the platform and its collaborative nature, but working with a multidisciplinary team to be able to develop these queries. And I certainly learned a lot throughout the process and have a really increased appreciation for synthetic data in biomedical and public health research.
I think you kind of answered my last question here as a way to close, just thinking about synthetic data and its opportunities in the future. How do you see the opportunities to expand this to other research and other predictive modeling tools? But I think you kind of alluded to that.
Yeah, and I can speak, I guess, a little bit more. I definitely, as I mentioned, kind of gained this appreciation of synthetic data. I think it's kind of human nature to be a little hesitant of anything that's new, and especially when we hear synthetic. It initially, I've spoken with several different clinicians and researchers who initially have a lot of apprehension around that. And so I think the use of synthetic data in more precision medicine and modeling contexts increases the overall trust of it as we're able to kind of showcase the meaningful insights that are available in that data and the high quality of the data and that it's comparable to the real world data that we have, I think is really invaluable in kind of shifting the narrative around synthetic data.
Yes, definitely. Well, Lori, thank you for sharing the PredictMod story and for walking us through how George Washington University and the VA partnering with MDClone to advance this important work. Really appreciate the work that you and the team did in the diabetes and chronic disease space. So today's conversation really highlights how secure governed access to longitudinal clinical data can accelerate insight, foster multi-stakeholder collaboration, interdisciplinary team between academic institution and the public sector like Veterans Affairs, and truly more importantly, enhancing translational readiness of evidence into concrete and effective population health programs. With MDClone, are glad to have taken part in this initiative through our synthetic data solution to address this very important research. So we're excited to see how PredictMod continues to evolve. Well, Lori, thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you to our listeners for tuning in to the MD Clone Talk Data Podcast. See you in the next episode.
You are listening to the MD Clone Talk Data Podcast, the show that uncovers healthcare insights, technology innovation, and discovers new ways to understand data possibilities. We bring together industry leaders, customers, and innovators to drive the future of care delivery. Let's talk data.